Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Dr. Travis Yates, all the way from Tulsa. We appreciate it. Retired as a police major from the Tulsa Police Department. And also, Captain Brett Bartlett, the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. So thanks, guys, for being here. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. You can see the banner behind me. Also, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we got on satellite radio back on May the 5th. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our armed sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, my Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming and reaching over a million followers right now on social media during the live show. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please check out our gear there. And FishOrlandoBass.com. You know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. So next time you go with the wife and the kids, give the wife and kids a credit card, Travis. Give them cash. I know you got plenty of cash. And then do the bass fishing charter with Zach. Or if you're feeling very adventurous and you want to hunt the famous Florida crocodile, I say crocodiles, really alligators are in Florida, not crocodiles. But you can go hook up with Zach and hunt the Florida alligator and catch and relocate. We don't kill. We catch and relocate in Florida. Thanks to all of our sponsors and the Zach and Fisher Orlando Bass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for hearing our content. Also, our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com and Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com. Thanks, guys, for making all this possible. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We got a great lineup. Now, we got some new details on the raid in Venezuela, but make no mistake, it was a law enforcement operation. And so we've got new details on the covert operation, the capture Maduro. So that's going to be up first. And then we got Hilton, the hotel chain. They're blocking ICE agents from booking hotels in Minnesota. Are you kidding me? This is being acclaimed by DHS. And then we've got ShotSpotter. They results in a Louisville metro officer shooting an armed suspect. That's pretty wild. We've got a dead suspect and two injured deputies on a 911 call when the suspect threatened to kill police, and he just about did. We got a federal judge dismisses a consent decree meant to spark police reform in Louisville. And the wild thing is that the agency was begging for the consent decree. They were going to a judge begging him to approve it. And it's the federal government. It's the new Trump DOJ that wanted to shut it down. Travis, maybe you can explain it to me. And then we got Monterey County deputy shot an armed man through a windshield. And then BCSO sheriff announces the county firefighters they're no longer flying with them in air support. Has something to do with a little thing called marijuana testing. Just hilarious. So we can take these things out of order if you want. Let's go to the Maduro real quick. CBS News and RVMnews.com are the sources for this story. We have two articles. The first one, new details on the covert operation, the capture Maduro. And then the next one's a little bit deeper. So I'm just going to go through both of these. I'm going to blow through them very quickly. Our Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who we all know by now, and I think he's proven himself pretty well, he revealed new details Monday about the U.S. operation, the capture and arrest Nicolas Maduro. And Hegseth said that Maduro had no warning that the U.S. was closing in until just moments before the U.S. forces arrived. And he said, here's a quote, Nicolas Maduro got to meet some great Americans wearing night vision goggles 3 nights ago. He didn't even know that they were coming until 3 minutes before they arrived. In fact, his wife said, I think I hear aircraft outside. They didn't know. And you know why? Because every single part of that chain did their job. Guys, there were no leaks. Roughly 200 Americans carried out the overnight raid that happened on Saturday, as we know, at Maduro's residence in downtown Caracas. And fighter jets and bombers, they hit the air defenses for Venezuela, cleared the way for Delta Force commandos and helicopters to go in. And, of course, one helicopter got shot up, but they got all the equipment back, too, which is something Biden, of course, wouldn't have been able to pull off. It said that several soldiers ended up being injured in the operation, and that dozens of Venezuelans were killed along with 32 Cuban citizens who were part of the security detail for Maduro. Also, U.S. forces breached the compound, intercepted Maduro before he could actually get into the safe room. And it was, I guess it was a pretty large, heavy metal door that he had a little trouble closing. It talks about U.S. Special Forces using a replica of Maduro's residence and compound in order to prepare for the scenarios. We have General Dan Kane. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He said the operation was built around, and I love this part because we're all trainers on the show, it was built on repetition and redundancy. And here's a quote, we think, we develop, we train, we rehearse, we debrief, And we rehearse again and again, and not to get it right, but ensure that we cannot get it wrong. Oh, I love that. CIA personnel inside Venezuela, they got close. And I mean, we'll probably never know how close they got, but they were tracking Maduro's movements since August. Now, I remember when Trump approved the CIA to go in and start doing some stuff. This happened, this was before that, I believe, including they had an agent penetrated his inner circle and provided key intelligence and a massive U.S. military presence. It's still there, positioned off the coast of Venezuela, and American forces are planning to intercept another sanctioned oil tanker that they've been pursuing for months now. And I just read an article this morning about a Russian tanker that got away. We're in the process of chasing it down. I suspect it's the same one. And now Russia has sent ships to intercept their ship before our ships can catch up with it. I don't know what's going to happen, but it should be spectacular. And the second article, Donald Trump's Venezuela moves bigger than reported. Taiwan, AI, BRICS, Iran, China, Russia. So Glenn Beck was talking about this. And just in a nutshell, he said that it was very strategic cutting off China's access to energy and weakening the adversarial powers around the globe that are relying on the Venezuelan oil. In detailed remarks, Glenn Beck said that he described it as an interconnected strategy involving Venezuela, China, Iran, and global energy dominance. And he acknowledged that oil is a central issue here. And he said, some people just missed that point, but he goes, it's all about the oil. Even if we don't need it, meaning the United States, other people do. If they're not getting it from China, they're going to have to get it from somewhere else. According to Beck, China is the true target of the strategy. China needs the oil. And from what I understand, it's a special kind of oil that's made in Venezuela. There's only a couple of places where they make it. China buys 60 to 90% of all of Venezuela's crude exports. He added that China also purchases 85 to 90% of all of the oil from Iran and nearly half of all Russian oil. And he said that what's happening right now, 60 to 90% of all the exports of Venezuela are now not going to China. And then he questioned how long China could sustain energy needs without Venezuelan oil, and also said that this takes away their capability to invade Taiwan and all these other things. So it's a lot of great stuff. Travis, why don't you start us off?
Well, as usual, most of the political pundits are very short-sighted on all of this stuff. I will remind them there was a time when President Barack Obama went into a sovereign country, Pakistan, and killed Osama bin Laden. And I would submit to you that as horrible as he was, Maduro has killed millions upon millions of people across this planet, including hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Americans through what comes through Venezuela. And we all know that. Let's not argue that. But the short-sightedness of this is this gets back to the Monroe Doctrine. President Monroe in 1823 looked at the world and said, listen, we're in the Western Hemisphere. Here's the line. And if people don't understand what I'm saying, look at a globe, or if you're crazy, look at a flat piece of paper. Okay. And China and Russia doesn't belong in the Western Hemisphere. It's a danger to all of us. Venezuela is deep south. It's in the Western Hemisphere. And so this is about getting back to what America has always been about. From 1823, you have no business being on this part of the planet. You play on your side, we play on ours. And thankfully, we have a president that has decided to actually take action to make sure that happens. So this is only the beginning, but this makes everyone safer if you get the luxury of living in the Western Hemisphere.
Love it. Captain Brett.
The way I heard this thing went down in Venezuela is a couple of street cops are trying to make an arrest and they call for a backup. And you know the rest of the story. The hell of a backup. I don't know how Trump carries those things around all day. He must have a wheelbarrow carrying his things around. And it is so deeply layered. His decisions, his strategy is something we can't even hold on to. So it's not about oil, but it is about absolutely. That's why China was there. It's about oil. Nobody hollered at them for it. But I'm telling you, I'm so impressed with this president. I can't keep track of the cool stuff that he's doing, and I'm okay with that.
Oh, don't forget about the minerals too, Brett. Venezuela has the richest minerals on the planet. They obviously have most oil underneath them than ever before. It's not really been extracted to the level it could be. I mean, I'm just thankful that we have honesty. Because when they asked Trump about the oil, he goes, well, yeah, it's about the oil. Of course it is. It's about everything that's in this country that's corrupt and is being just wasted and given to our enemies. And so we haven't even gotten into how cool it was to be able to go in and do what they did. This is the president of a country, allegedly, right? He's not the real president, but he obviously was all the corruption there. But pretty incredible. There was a day in America, I don't know, about 10 years ago, where we'd all come together and go, that was pretty cool. But unfortunately, we live in a world today where, you know, half of America has completely lost their mind and everything is Trump, 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 Trump. So I tell you, it was impressive. I'm going to miss it because I'm not dumb. I don't know if we'll ever see a president that has what this president has.
You know, on Monday show, we had Scott Steyer, and he's former Delta Force and Green Beret. And of course, they just killed it on this operation. Tomorrow, we're supposed to have Jeff Nicklaus, who is a Blackhawk pilot. So it should be a good show. So look, guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break. We're going to be talking about Gaul. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you, as police officers, we do what we do best. We buy gear. We love to buy gear. And when you throw the online mix, the choices are limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's about supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And for the visual viewers, you can see the banner behind me with their motto and a QR code. And, you know, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. And, you know, I just got this new Mission Made pants. They normally... they usually don't make anything, but now they're making Mission Made pants. I'm telling you, these tactical pants are just spectacular. They pretty much have everything but guns and ammo. Gauls.com. And now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, you all know what my favorite product is that they have, but they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product we all know, and the one that I love, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but now it's hundreds of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. It said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status, and Brett, I know you're paying attention, in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. When it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3. The hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide, and friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Brett sent you. Compliant Technologies. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by, we got Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from Tulsa, Captain Brett Bartlett with Exumber Defense Solutions. And guys, we've been talking about Maduro, the extraction from Venezuela from a guy that's been indicted over here in the U.S. It was primarily a law enforcement operation backed up by the military, which helps justify, you know, what the Trump administration did. So if you guys are ready, we've got some other stories that I'd like to get to, and I want to get to the stuff that's in Travis's wheelhouse as well. So I'm sorry, Dr. Travis. So anyhow, that was pretty good, because people think I'm being serious, Travis. You know, like, oh, look, here's another private message from Travis Yates. I didn't refer to him as doctor. Okay, yeah.
I cannot help you medically, but I can grade your papers. That's all I can do.
So RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, Hilton blocks ICE agents from booking hotels in Minnesota, DHS claims. So, man, I hope this is not true. I will never go to a Hilton again if it is. The Department of Homeland Security has accused the Hilton hotel chain of refusing service to Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents operating in the state of Minnesota, raising concerns about what DHS described as a coordinated effort to block federal law enforcement officers from securing lodging while on duty. The allegation surfaced after DHS posted this on social media. They shared screenshots of email exchanges that appeared to show Hilton hotel staff denying bookings to ICE agents specifically because of their role in immigration enforcement. Crazy. According to DHS, the refusals were not isolated to incidents, but they are part of a broader pattern that targeted ICE personnel. And just in that state, though, then we have a journalist, Bill Malugan. He gets involved and he cites both DHS statements and information he received directly from ICE officers working in Minnesota. So it sounds freaking horrible. Captain Bartlett, your thought on that? Or Travis?
Well, they verified that it was true, but now Hilton, the corporation, has distanced itself from that particular franchisee. So they're taking the Hilton name away from that guy. It's just so ridiculous, man. It's just, we're not gonna take your money because we disagree with your policy. It is so stupid. But And Trump took them off the provider list. So they won't be ever be used for any federal work anymore.
Beautiful. Consequences.
So I'm a Hilton guy. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm a very common person. So when I go somewhere, I want to be able to know what to expect. And you can go into Hilton property, you know what you're going to get. I'm a very happy Diamond member, so to speak. And I get to park very close to the door. That's all I get for that. But what you have to understand about Hilton is you have the Hilton properties that Hilton owns, and you have franchisees, right? Yep. And there is a difference sometimes. Sometimes you roll up to a Hilton, it's like a Motel 6, and you're like, ooh, what's this, right? I don't know what this hotel in Minneapolis looked like, but it was the Hilton franchisee, and obviously Hilton immediately disassociated themselves with him. And I love liberal ideology, because immediately when this happened, they're all going, I'm starting to go to Hilton now. This is awesome that Hilton did this. And then, of course, Hilton goes, nope, this isn't us. We're backing off. Then they didn't know what to say. And also what Hilton said is part of the reason why they're getting rid of them as a franchisee is they say, we believe in inclusivity. And because we believe in inclusivity, everyone's welcome here. That, of course, the liberals' minds blew up when they heard that, because that's their word. That's not anyone else's right. word. So Hilton did the right thing. It's obviously ridiculous. And by the way, it's not even politics. This is a law enforcement operation of people that are committing crimes. And so it's just ridiculous, right? I know politics is wrapped into everything. This isn't politics. The Congress passed a law that made it illegal to be in this country without the proper documentation, and they are enforcing the law. Nothing has changed. Yes, Trump may be president. Yes, the border may now be secure, but that has been in law for decades, and nobody in Congress has ever thought about getting rid of the law. They just want to talk about it. So people are just not using their critical thinking skills when it comes to this stuff, and it's very unfortunate.
Now, the article said that it implied, gave the impression that it was the entire state, not just located, to Minneapolis or wherever. So, and I do remember reading an article about Hilton going to strip their name off of one hotel. Jay, so you, as far as you know, it was isolated to one hotel and not a group of hotels that were in the state of
Yeah, it was one Minnesota. Hotel. And I'll tell you right now, that hotel won't be around much longer, because if you're not associated with Hilton and people aren't booking through Hilton, good luck getting people to even find where you are. That hotel's done. So good luck to that. And here's the sad part.
Good.
It may not even have been management that did it. It may have been some squirrely middle manager or desk clerk. And all of a sudden that hotel is history. Wow. They might as well join the ranks of the Learing Center there in Minneapolis, the way they're going.
The Learing Center. All right. I love it. Well, guys, moving along, we've got a story. We got a stories with some video components. So again, we can take anything out of order if you guys want to. But we're going to go to the Spotter story first. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, which is at Rumble.com. We have a ShotSpotter activation results in a Louisville officer shooting an armed suspect.
Going southbound towards Chestnut.
Liberty Federal Credit Union's free vertical checking account.
Hey, show me your hands. Hey, don't reach for nothing. He's saying he's got a gun. Show me your hands. Do not reach for anything. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Hey, get a less lethal. I can see the gun on him. He's refusing to cooperate. Put your hands up. Put your other hand up. Put your other hand up.
So it's the Louisville Metropolitan Police Department. They said that the incident started with there were two back-to-back calls for service alerted by ShotSpotter, which of course detects, you know, gunfire. And the system reported 10 rounds being shot just after 11 o'clock in the morning. So that's kind of late, almost the middle of the afternoon. So I'm surprised with that. Officers arrived on the scene. They find Asa McNeely, 30 years old. He runs into a backyard of a house. Now he can be seen on the body camera telling officers that he had a gun. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because immediately what Brett Bartlett said popped into my head while I'm watching the video. So the guy said he has a gun, and it says that he refused to show both of his hands. Well, they should really say both of his hands at the same time. So we have a first division officer, John Hessler. He's there. And before he fires his weapon, bad guy, the officer keeps telling me, he keeps saying, show me your hands. So the guy What ends up being is that he's got the gun in the front waistband. I actually thought that maybe he had it in one of his hands, but it looks like it's in his front waistband. So the guy has his left hand in his waistband, not drawing the gun, but just next to it. And he's got his right hand up, right hand's empty. And the cop's saying, you know, show me your hands. He goes, I got my hand up. He goes, show me the other hand. And I'm thinking to myself, be careful what you ask for. Just like Brett said. So what he does, the bad guy puts his right hand down and puts it on his waistband, just like he had the left hand. And as soon as he raises the left hand up, which is empty, he gets shot. But they said they thought that he was going for the gun. So not that I necessarily have a huge problem with that, but you know, I think Brett would have given different commands on this one. So the guy had a semi-automatic handgun, a Glock 35, underneath him on the ground when they rushed in after they shoot him and stuff. And they roll him over and render aid. And it says that he's taken to the hospital, critical condition, didn't die because they've already charged him in the incident. So we've got really only about 20 seconds, guys. So if you don't mind, let's hold off on talking about this. We're going to go to commercial break. And as soon as we come back, we'll be all over this. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro, the Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com already. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence that's now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on the Primo stuff and their M5 AR 308 platform, that's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates and also Captain Brett Bartlett. And we've been talking about a particular story. There is a video component. There's a shot spotter activation resulted in a Louisville police officer shooting an armed suspect. Shot spotter, 10 rounds fired at least then. And Asa McNeely, our 30-year-old bad guy who ends up having a gun in his waistband, he ends up raising his right hand. And then the cop keeps telling him, show me both hands. And he's got his left hand on the waistband next to the gun. And so he kind of switches positions. Right hand goes down to the waistband. Left hand comes up empty. Bam, bam, bad guy shot. And he lived to talk about it, but he got charged. Dr. Travis Yates.
Well, I talk about this a lot, Hunter Chip, and before I get going, I want to say that I'm not putting any blame on the officer itself, but Louisville is one of these departments that have implemented de-escalation at every turn. They've implemented, you know, they've gone away from Granby Connor and their policies. They obviously, the DOJ has been involved with that agency. So from a safety standpoint, Louisville officers are at more risk. But I'm involved in a new training program called FOCUS, a Field Observable Cues for Unknown Situations. It's a validated system on how officers can mitigate violence against them. I'm telling you, it's lockstep. It's solid. It's evidence-based. Anybody's interested, go to my website, travisyates.org. It's all right there. But a part of that training is I have looked at every open forum video of violence in the last 5 years in law enforcement. I'm telling you right now, we won this fight because we got fortunate. And here's why. We should never hear these two words in an encounter. Get less lethal. I see a gun on him. Those two words should never go together. Get less lethal. I see a gun on him. Right then and there says this is not a less lethal altercation. Right then and there says this is not an incident where you should be de-escalating. Okay, because there is not one successful de-escalation that I have found in my research where it turned violence away when there was violence precipitators like we see here. And so there's a ton going on here. Now the officer did win this gunfight, but here's what he waited for. He waited for the guy to pull his gun from his waistband. We got fortunate. The research tells us that at best, we got a 50-50 chance to beat them to that gunfight because action always beats reaction. And so we got very fortunate there. What if we wouldn't have missed that? There's a lot of things that could have gone wrong. What we have to do is pay attention to what's happening before the attack happens. And we got a lot of things here. First off, we know he has a gun. Second off, we know he shot the gun because a shot spotter called. And secondly, you see behaviors like this with one hand is a telltale sign of what he's about to do. And here's why. Before a suspect commits violence, they're thinking about the violence and their body then gives off indicators. We call those pre-incident indicators in our training. And so you've got to clue in on those indicators and wipe this nonsense out of your vocabulary. Less lethal and de-escalate. If you're getting the indicators, they've already made the decision to do it. So you better make your decision or you're going to be behind the eight ball on this. And so I'm committed to making sure that law enforcement moving forward does not keep having to get lucky in these encounters. And the only way to do that is to evaluate what is happening before the violence and taking appropriate action and not waiting for guns to be pulled, not waiting for guns to be pointed, because we don't catch up to that.
Good point. And Brett, I know you're talking next. Also talk about, if you don't mind, our cop. And look, it's hard to tell the distance for the body cam, but it looked like there was a decent amount of distance, but he kept taking his left hand off his gun, the cop did, and kept going the radio and giving a dialogue, which was just useless, and telling them what's going on and going down the one hand when the guy, when he's got the armed guy. But go ahead.
Yeah, that second video that came up showed another officer who also had a pretty good view of the bad guy. And Travis is right. It's a gun. Don't be bringing in less lethal. And I thought, okay, there must be other people there. Okay, let's deal with that. But it shows that the other officer, the backup officer, when the first officer said, go get the less lethal, that officer, I don't want to say abandoned, he left his position to go get the less lethal. Next thing you know, while he's at his car, the shots are fired. Don't do that. Now, if I'm the guy with the gun in my hand and I've got other people there, I'm going to let them call the shots. If I'm the eyeball with gun on the bad guy, I don't want my brain to be distracted by talking to other people on the radio. You've got to stay in the game. What I did like, though, is at least he tried to take command. At least he gave some orders. Okay, I don't know if I would do that, but his voice remained pretty calm. There was no panic in his voice. I was kind of digging on that, but you don't bring a beanbag to a gunfight. It's just crazy.
You know, what's interesting, Brett, is we always talk about objective reasonableness, and that's obviously the use of force, mm-hmm. Constitutional floor, so to speak, of what makes our use of force justified. And does anyone think it's reasonable to bring less lethal to a man with a gun? No, we are violating that on that spectrum every day in this profession, because we're so scared of somebody not thinking that it would be reasonable to do what needs to be done. By the way, is there a human on the planet that wouldn't fear for their life in that moment? He shot a gun. He's got a gun. He's not following commands. At that point, is there a human alive that would go, oh, I feel completely comfortable in this situation? Of course not. So why would the police officer try to bring in other options? Right then and there is a decision you have to make to stop this threat. And we're not, and this isn't just Louisville. We're seeing this all over the place. And we've got to somehow get this out of our vocabulary. That's why I challenge anybody that believes in de-escalation. Let me just give you a quick tidbit. De-escalation is great in nonviolent encounters. But if anybody has given you any indication that they're going to be violent, I haven't seen a success story yet. I'd be glad to hear it out if someone has it. Obviously, there's a ton of video out there. I haven't seen it. But I have the research on what I'm talking about. If you love de-escalation so much, bring me your research. We'll compare.
I love the challenge. Excellent. Excellent. Because Travis will still be standing when it's all done. Brett, do you have final words?
The only thing missing from the things that Travis mentioned, you got a no person. We have a gun. The only thing missing is officer going, oh, and by the way, I just heard a shot whiz by my ear. That's the only thing that's missing from this process.
Well, let's go ahead and stay in Louisville and WDRBN.com. We have a federal judge dismisses consent decree meant to spark police reform in Louisville. And this is Louisville, Kentucky. So a federal judge on Wednesday dismissed the consent decree. And this agreement was between the Louisville Metro government and the U.S. Department of Justice. And it laid out sweeping reforms of Louisville police in the wake of Breonna Taylor's death. So it's a federal consent decree. Now, it's just the way this goes down is just really strange. So in an order filed in federal court on Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Benjamin Beaton, he said that while violations certainly existed within the department, the responsibility to lead the Louisville Metro Police Department in compliance with federal law, that it's really down to local city representatives, elected officials is what he said, and the people that they serve. So keep it local. And he said in May of 2025, the DOJ announced plans to dismiss the consent decree, saying that it would have imposed years of micromanagement of local police departments by federal courts and expensive independent monitors that probably live across the country, and potentially hundreds of millions of dollars of compliance costs without a legally or factually adequate basis for doing so. And this was initiated by the Trump DOJ. Now, Judge Beaton, or judge that's making these decisions, said his ruling ended the federal government's agreement with the city, calling it a presumably well-meaning but ultimately misdirected effort toward judicial supervision of the police department. Now, earlier this year, the Metro, Louisville Metro, their government urged a federal judge, it doesn't say it was this judge, but they urged a federal judge to sign the decree. Like they're begging for it. The DOJ has asked for multiple extensions for filing documents related to the Louisville consent decree in the U.S. District Court, and they withdrew six attorneys that were pursuing the dissent decree against Louisville, and they replaced them with only one attorney, according to the court records. So the police admins are the ones that wanted it. And it goes on and on. I mean, now Louisville, the mayor, Craig Greensburg, saying, that's okay. We're still hiring a company. We're still going to do we're going to do monitoring, and we're going to pay someone to do this. And we're going to have everything that was in place for the federal thing. We're still going to end up doing that. It's like they're begging someone to babysit them. It's just the craziest thing. Dr. Yates, make some sense out of this for us.
Well, this is a topic, obviously, that I know way too much about, unfortunately. And anybody wants to really dive into what happened in Louisville, go to lawofficer.com/DOJ. I found, for instance, in Phoenix, that the DOJ lied 97% of the time in their document when they tried to force Phoenix into a consent decree. And in Louisville, I spread the lies within the report they did there. Let me give you the backstory on this judge. Back last spring, they had a hearing because the city, what a picture of horrible leadership for the city of Louisville, them begging these liars to run their police department. It wasn't the city that pointed out. The judge found that the DOJ was being deceptive, and the judge questioned the DOJ in an open hearing, and the DOJ had no answers. And that's when the judge went, there's something not right here. Okay. And so here it is. I mean, these things destroy cities, and for leadership in a city, by the way, that's not in question. But out of the top 10 most violent cities in America today, seven of them have been under consent decrees in the past. So they destroy cities and safety. Louisville knows that. The leadership knows that. Thank goodness we had one judge that wanted to do the right thing that got rid of this. But then you still have these Louisville idiots doing it. By the way, Phoenix is doing the same thing. We got rid of it in Phoenix, and the leadership goes, we're still going to implement all these things that don't work that make us deadly and dangerous. It's crazy. Go to the website, lawofficer.com/DOJ, and read what I found. They're a bunch of liars.
Thanks, Doctor. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here, and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or sheriff and have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We have Dr. Travis Yates and Captain Brett Bartlett on the show as well. And believe it or not, we've been talking about consent decrees. And in Louisville, we covered a shooting in Louisville, and then we covered the consent decree that the judge just dismissed, and the new Trump DOJ did not want it. Travis, I remember having a conversation with you during a show where we're talking about all the stuff going on in Phoenix and stuff that you've been involved with. And I was asking, what's going to happen when Trump gets in the office? This is before, I think it's actually before, you know, he came in. Is the DOJ going to take a new stance? So you bring up a really good point. The law is still on the book. So you may have a Trump DOJ that's not pursuing it, but it's still on the books, which means as soon as you do play the musical chair routine and you get someone else in power, that option's open back up for them again, right?
Yeah, and as long as we have these weak, cowardly chiefs over these big city departments, these blue cities, it's going to continue to happen. And this is not done to help police or reform police. We have 30 years of evidence that says it's a complete disaster. It's done to control. And that control is costing people's lives.
All right.
Hey, you get what is measured. Okay. And if they're measuring all this stuff, if they're looking for resist arrest, then nobody's going to arrest anybody because nobody wants to take that chance. So these agencies, they're parking their cruisers under the tree going, I don't want no part of that. So what happens? Crime goes up because nobody's enforcing the law.
Lawofficer.com/DOJ. Do I have that correct, Travis?
Yeah, the whole report's there, and it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind what that report says. It will blow your mind that no one's talking about it. No, everyone thinks it's just fine. The DOJ is going around lying about these departments. So it's crazy. All right.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. Hey, we've got some more good stuff coming. So I'll tell you what, we've got the shooting that I want to cover, and I would like to cover the one with the firefighters and the marijuana. So if we have time, we got 7.5 minutes. So this next one, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter. Suspect dead, two deputies injured when a 911 call revealed the suspect threatened to kill police. So we're in San Antonio, Texas on this one. The Bexar County Sheriff's Office, they released body-worn camera footage on this. This happened December the 21st of 2025. There's a shootout. It killed a bad guy, Jose Arley Fernandez Solano, and it injured two Bexar County deputies. So we have Deputy Nathan Sagala and Deputy Nicholas Zena, who end up getting to a physical struggle with the bad guy, Solano, and he ends up firing a single shot that struck both men. Now, the single shot fired by the bad guy actually hit both deputies. Deputies return fire, bad guy dead. So the caller referred to as Solano, the caller to the 911 referred to Solano as her ex-boyfriend, and she said that he's armed with two weapons and he made threats to harm her and her children. And here's a quote saying, he told me that if I called the police, he would kill himself or kill the police. And she's Hispanic. So the caller said that Solano didn't even live at the home, but that she called police several times in the past for similar disturbances involving the same bad guy. The caller told the 911 dispatcher that he had actually fallen asleep at the house and that she suspected that he was on drugs and that she was no longer at the house. She was at a secondary location. So the cops end up showing up, and we got Solano, our bad guy. He answers her front door, but of course, you know, she's not there. She's left with the kids. She's by himself. And so the deputy, Sagala, asked the bad guy, hey, what happened with the woman? And the bad guy says that she's not there. And then the footage shows the deputy reaching past the home's front doorway to grab onto the bad guy's arm. Bad guy lunges backwards into the home, and now there's a fight. So the deputy, the main deputy, is on top of the bad guy, and you hear a single gunshot, and it ends up hitting both deputies. And the cop, one of the deputies is saying, remember they both got hit, but one saying, I'm hit. And then we have both deputies actually shooting the bad guy. And there's body-worn camera. This one body-worn camera, the first one got dislodged. The second one kind of shows what happened. And following the shooting, they discovered that bad guy had a stolen handgun in his possession. So, and I'm just looking at my show notes. I think I pretty much got that. Deputies were only injured. And of course, bad guy died. Brett Bartlett.
It's a horrible thing going into that tiny little space and trying to grapple with that guy. And next thing you know, you hear shots being fired and one officer was hit. I hate to be in that situation. You know, he goes back in the house. You got to go follow him in. Not good. I'm glad they're okay.
Yeah. Travis Shades.
I hate to sound like a broken record. Once again, look at what is happening before the shots are fired. Number one, She tells the dispatcher he will kill police. That's a hint for anyone showing up on one of those calls not to get face to face with the guy and start talking to him like he's your best friend. Okay. But secondly, look how he's standing in the doorway. I know our listeners don't see this, but he's talking to the officers and he's intentionally completely hiding his entire left side of his body, keeping it away from the officers. Why do you think that would be? Let's put two and two together. I will kill police. And when I talk to the police, I'm going to hide an entire side of my body where I'm going to be potentially holding a gun. So we've got to make different decisions before these encounters happen. We should never be that close. This should darn near be treated as an armed and barricaded. Get the victim out of the house, okay, and then deal with it. Because we are risking our lives for no reason because we believe in some narrative that we can just talk nice to people that have said they want to kill us. We must stop this.
Yeah, it's amazing. One bullet, it happens, but struck both cops. Luckily, both deputies are okay, but and the bad guy, you know, is dead. He's not going to be bothering her anymore. If you guys are up for it, I'm ready to talk about some firefighter action here. KRQE.com, Albuquerque News. So we have the Bernalillo County firefighter. So in Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office involved in this. So the Sheriff's Office announced that county firefighters said they are no longer going to be flying with them in air support. Now, this is a great story. It's funny. It's funny as well because, you know, there's this healthy rivalry, sometimes unhealthy, between cops and firefighters and stuff. And of course, people joke around like our buddy Ron McMullen Brett and, you know, firefighters are firefighters because they couldn't qualify to become cops, you know, stuff like that. So we've got the new rule set in place by Sheriff John Allen. The sheriff stated that this change is a consequence from the county's decision to stop random marijuana testing for certain employees, which included firefighters. The local firefighters union claims that testing procedures have not ceased and that their testing guidelines align with those of BCSO. So someone's not telling the truth. The county chapter vice president, the local chapter of the IAFF, Theodore Uge, I can't even pronounce that name. None of our members are permitted in any way, shape, or form to be intoxicated or to be under the influence of any altering substances while on duty. And I noted that the guy with the union saying that, but he's not saying they're being tested. They got the same rules in place, but I suspect it's the testing thing that's changed, not the policy. On Wednesday, Sheriff John Allen announced the decision to remove the county fire rescue personnel from the Metropolitan Air Support Unit, citing changes to the county's drug and alcohol testing policy. Earlier in the year, Bernalillo County Commissioners, they approved a resolution that allows certain county employees, which includes firefighters, to use, if you can believe this, recreational and medicinal cannabis when they're off duty. And the resolution also altered the frequency, how often they're getting drug tested. In his announcement, Sheriff Allen stated that the safety is their priority. He referenced that they actually, and this is where it hits at home, they had a helicopter crash in 2022, not that long ago. It resulted in the deaths of three deputies and one fire department rescue specialist. So this is hitting home for the sheriff. He's taking it serious for good reasons. He's just trying to do the best thing for the people he represents. But it does involve our firefighters. And it's just interesting that the union, you know, instead of fighting that to keep, you know, we want to have the testing. You know, Brett, I don't even remember our union ever saying like, we don't want to get tested for, you know, controlled substances. You know, I mean, it just goes without saying, you know, we don't want to be working with people like that. I remember being in the union my last 6 years and there being a female that was on some prescribed medication and she did a urine test and got cut. You know, she didn't belong on the street, you know, even though it was, she had a script and stuff. There's sometimes you don't need to be carrying a gun and a badge. But we have less than a minute. Any commentary on this, guys? Am I out there on this one, Brett, or what?
There's something missing in the story. Something's not adding up. And the chief can just say this, listen, fire department, if you want to fly in a helicopter, go buy one. And, you know, we won't fly in yours, you fly in ours, but there's something going on. Firefighters, they probably, you know, they wet their little diaper and got mad or something. Now, having said that, my brother is a retired fire captain here locally, so maybe he's listening too.
Well, yeah, you'll hear about it if he is. So, yeah.
Well, I think firefighters would make perfect sense in a helicopter because they're used to playing them in those video games, right? So they would be able to fly them just great.
That's a good point. And
right when they're in their easy chairs in the firehouse waiting for, you know, something happened so they can come on the radio and go, we're staging.
It sounds like they usually have a fire representative when they're out and about anyhow, you know, just like SWAT teams, you know, have some people cross chain and stuff. So, but interesting. Well, guys, we're out of time. Another fantastic show. Thanks so much to Dr. Travis Yates and also Captain Brett Bartlett. We appreciate you guys being on the show. And guys, don't forget about travisyates.org to get more information as well. We got travisyates.org and also courageouspoliceleader.com and also Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. And I want to mention the Wound of Blue at the wounddeblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So if you're interested in supporting a good organization that's not going to embarrass you, the woundedblue.org. That's all you need. And guys, our sponsors, please support our sponsors. We have gulls.com, compliantechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa.com, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.life, safeguardrecruiting.com, twobells.com, and fisherlandobass.com with Zach. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.